friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
So let's introduce everybody.
Yeah. We're Thanks interviewing this lovely couple.
I'm Luke. Introduce
Luke and
Melinda.
Melinda.
Yep. And it's Courtney and Lisa here.
Yeah. Valerie's not with us tonight.
Yeah. I think people know.
Well, she's going to miss out.
She is.
I know. She'll. Yeah. So I met Melinda at Bunko. And then ironically, I feel like the first time we met, we were chatting about your love story.
I'm sure.
And she's taught. Oh, she's taught me a lot of good things. Anyway, I love you.
I can see Melinda's trying to remember. What did I tell her? What have I said? What did I possibly talk, Lisa?
So yes, that's how I know Melinda, and then you through Melinda, of course. Yeah.
Yep.
So yes, I want to know all about your background though. Like, where were you born and raised and all that good stuff?
My lady.
I'll go first. let's see. I grew up in a very small farm town just outside of Spokane. We were not farmers. My dad was a teacher at the high school and we were town kids. I walked to town, you know, two blocks every day and back. But I grew up in that environment. From kindergarten through 12th grade.
Was this the high school, I guess, like kindergarten through middle school through high school, all on the same?
Oh, yeah, all on the same, like, large city block.
Yes, like all there together. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, how many kids graduated with you?
I had a class of 58, and that was a big class.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the majority of the people in my class, we had all gone to school K through 12 together. So if you did something stupid, it followed you forever and ever.
And if you kissed one person, you'd basically kiss the whole school.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And it doesn't help anything that my dad was a teacher in the high school.
Oh, yeah.
So I was a pariah. I was not cool. Like, I did everything because I was Miss Extracurricular. I was a cheerleader. I was in ASB. I was in all of these business and leadership clubs. I was in Knowledge Bowl, Honor Society, like, everything.
Yeah.
I did everything because I was bored. I wanted to do everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was a total social pariah because my dad was a teacher and he was one of the hard teachers. So nobody wanted to double cross Mr. Lovett.
Did they invite you to parties and stuff?
I was very sheltered. I lived in a very conservative Christian home, which was really good. And looking back, I'm really happy I was because I was not exposed to a lot early on that I had to go out and find. But at the same time, I also went looking for stuff once I got out of the house because I was curious about all these things that I just had no idea existed in the world.
Totally.
But anyway, yeah, so just lived in a very, you know, regimented Christian household and
was probably kept you out of trouble.
Oh, yeah.
You know, which is good. You can look back and say,
trouble was like,
I didn't make many bad choices because I didn't have to.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, trouble was, I don't think I ever really got in any sort of trouble. I didn't go looking for it. It didn't come looking for me. So that was nice. And yeah, my whole life was all of my extracurriculars. And then like my youth group that was in Spokane, where I had what I would call more my core close friends.
And they didn't go to your school.
No. Yeah. This was like in Spokane, people from all over the place.
Oh, you know,
I was friends with a lot of kids at like Cheney High School, Mead, Lewis and Clark, Shadle, North Central. Like I knew kids all over.
Yeah.
But I'd only get to see them, you know, once a week. And so that was kind of what I thought of more as my core friend group.
Yeah.
I had a friend group back in my high school too. But a lot of them went off to start doing like, what's it called? Running Start. And I was one of the only people who didn't. I just was like, you know what? I'm in high school once and I get to do all of these things once. I'm going to stick out and enjoy high school. I'm not going to try to rush and jump into college ahead of time.
So finish early and be off to college?
Well, they would already have 2 years of college under their belts. And I just thought, well, why? You know, why? Like,
why
I
stress yourself out?
Yeah. So anyway, so that was kind of my...
And then where did you go to college?
I went to Whitworth.
So did University. A lot of those kids that you went to high school with, did they go to Whitworth too, or did they go all over the place?
No. They would all, most of them went off to WSU because they were all farm kids and they were all going for their agriculture or whatever. No, I mean, everybody kind of went everywhere or they didn't go to school. They'd go to, like, you know, lineman school was a big thing. The oil fields in the Midwest were blowing up. So a lot of guys went to go work that.
Yeah.
Everybody just kind of went everywhere. But because I was at the upper end of the academic scale, I was one of the few who probably went on truly and did like a 4-year university and like went that direction.
Yeah.
So.
And so then you went, you chose Whitworth. What was it about Whitworth that you liked?
Both my parents had gone there. I had the opportunity to cheer, which I loved, and I didn't want to give that up yet. And
okay, in the collegiate level, I just have to know, because I had like a guy friend in college that was a cheerleader, and he was like all about like lifting up those ladies and like looking up at the same time.
Oh yeah.
Yes, my God.
That's how my brother met his wife.
That's true.
Oh, sweet, oh, yeah,
that is true.
That's
funny.
You're still married today?
That's awesome. I was not one of the girls being lifted because I was on the tall end of the team. But yeah, I got to cheer for 4 years. And so I just chose it. It made sense. And at the end of the day, when I had all of my scholarships and everything, it was, I mean, cheaper for me to go to a private school than it was even a public school. So I thought,
that's awesome.
Why not? I got my degree in accounting. And I didn't go into accounting, but I knew it would be a really practical major and track to get on and learn quickly in it that I didn't want to become an accountant. I didn't want to go down the CPA route. But I was able to translate that into a career in banking very nicely.
Which leads us into...
Yes.
Mine is the polar opposite of mine.
Yeah.
You know, when you talk about her, you think stability, you think, you know, same school, K through 12, literally the exact opposite. We lived all over Eastern Washington growing up. I went to 8 different schools, K through 12.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You got around.
From Spokane to Deer Park, Mead, Newport. But my teenage years, most memorable, we lived in Newport, Washington, just down the road to Newport High.
What's a graduating class?
88.
Okay.
And I didn't graduate from there, but we'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
I had one more school to go. Mostly through a divorce. My mother and married to my father for a short period. We lived in Suncrest, Washington when I was born. My brother and I were both born there. I have a lot of siblings, but only one true brother, the same mom, same dad. And ironically, they live there now. His wife, who I was just talking about, the cheerleader.
Did they all move to, like, when your parents moved, did all these kids move too, or did some stay?
Yeah, so I'll try not to take up a majority of time because it's a long story, but my mom and dad lived in Suncrest. They had me, my brother. They separated shortly after. My mother got remarried, had my sister. My dad got remarried, had 2 more kids. Okay. And so those are my other brothers and sisters. And we lived in Spokane. And my mom separated again, got married again, and they didn't have any children together, but he already had a daughter that was the same age as me, so that's also my sister.
Okay.
Stepsister.
Stepsisters. So you've got halvesies, stepsies,
but one full.
Okay.
and we moved out of Spokane to Riverside. I went to Riverside for quite a while, lived in Deer Park, and then, like I said, my freshman year of high school, we moved to Newport. And so now we're, I think, four kids in the house.
Yeah.
Yeah. Myself, my sister Jessica, my brother Zach, and my sister Angel Lee. And we're all going to Newport.
And you're all pretty close in age, I'm imagining.
Yeah, between, like, all. I think there's 5 years apart between all of us.
Yeah.
Do you feel that having, living with other, lots of other kids, do you feel like that helps you be more accommodating in your life today with your wife and your children and sort of?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so, I feel like when you are raised with a lot of other kids and moving around a lot, you kind of have to become a little more, you know, letting go of certain things. You can't hold on to, like.
Oh, I thrive in chaos.
Yes.
Yeah. We'll talk about when our daughter was born. I'm just calm, cool, and collected all the time. And she likes to say, because I'm just used to it. speaking of the time on the river, we moved into town. We lived in Newport now. It's my senior year of high school. Mom gets divorced again.
Okay.
And I'm at the point in my life where...
This is number four?
This is number... I don't know. I lost count.
Okay.
I love my mom.
I'm trying to count.
Anyway, so senior year, I got a sister the same age. I got a brother's 2 years behind me, a sister that's in junior high. And I'm not really wanting to go with either one of them, stepdad or mom. So I moved into Spokane on my own.
And you're 18 at this point,
17.
Too. You're 17.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
How'd you pull that off?
I just made a decision.
Oh.
And moved to Spokane. And took a few months off, realized very quickly I really need a diploma.
Okay, good.
In order to move forward with life. I was a straight A student at Newport High.
Mm-hmm.
Honor roll, all that jazz. And then, I lived by Ferris High School on the South Hill. I had a job at Super One Foods as a bagger. Mm-hmm. I had to kind of start over. I was a logger when I lived with my parents in Newport. My stepdad owned a logging company.
Yeah.
And I worked for him. And when that separated, I moved to Spokane on my own and I found this, you know, part-time gig bagging groceries. And I was under 18. You can't do a whole lot.
You can't rent.
In the workforce.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Can you rent a place
you
on your own at 18? I wouldn't think so.
You can live with your cousin.
Oh, you can live with your cousin. I want to know what's happening with your cousin. I would be concerned about that. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I know you
can drink beer.
Yeah.
Get some of that. Realized very quickly I need to go get my diploma. Ferris wasn't a good option. They wanted me to come back to school full time. Like, hey, I got to work.
Yeah.
I got to pay bills all of a sudden. I got to be an adult. And I went to Mead High School and they said, hey, you're great on paper. You've already done everything. How about you just take one course, visit with us every 2 weeks, come in, we'll go over your work and we'll just graduate you. So I graduated from Mead High School with a class of 499 and I knew nobody.
Yeah.
I was full. I never went to school.
Yeah.
So I just schooled from home, but got my diploma and that was the step I needed, right, to move forward with life. And,
I'm glad you did that.
Yeah. So, but that transition into turning 18, being at the grocery store, becoming a checker, which became a bookkeeper.
Okay.
Which got me finance experience.
Right.
And then not long after that, I got a job at a bank at 18 years old.
I just think that it's so fascinating. I love to hear the progression of humans, you know, when things that lead you on different paths, you know, you make this choice and here.
Yeah,
I hear you.
Yeah. It kind of happened organically and it's what needed to happen.
I was going to be a forester. I was going to go to college for forestry and come back and work for the timber company and do that my whole life and live in probably Newport.
Yeah.
And that dramatically changed.
Yeah.
And so now I'm 18 and working for Farmers and Merchants Bank, the warm-hearted bank in Spokane, as a teller. And, you know, fast forward several years, bouncing around to different banks, Sterling Savings, becoming a manager, and then making my way to U.S. Bank after the recession. And things were quiet in finance. And, you know, it was a kind of a troubling time in the industry.
So we're talking 2008 to 2012.
Yeah, I think we're past that now, probably 2010, 11.
Okay.
Somewhere in there, but still a quiet time, rates are low.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to revamp the industry and bring it back to life. And they developed this program at US Bank called the Leadership Development Program. And they pluck students out of college that are graduating, like Whitworth, and they bring them in to a program and introduce you to banking. So you're a teller, you're a loan officer, you're an assistant manager, and you're a manager. And it's an accelerated program to make you a manager. Mm-hmm. And Melinda Levitt was one of the LDP students, one of four. And at the time, I was the assistant manager of a branch in North Spokane at US Bank. And I'll never forget when the district manager walked in and said, "Luke, I want you to take particularly this person under your wing and show her how you do business to be successful as a manager." And she walked through the door, and I am rolling my tongue up off the floor. I'm biting.
Roger Rabbit.
Who is that? And just so we're clear, I have a girlfriend at the time. Uh-huh. And that didn't even cross my mind. I know that sounds terrible. But absolutely love it first sight.
I know. I want to talk about that for a second.
You're the same person.
We are always disagreeing.
Courtney's the believer. I'm not.
Valerie and I are believers. Oh, I don't say Valerie. I don't know if she's a believer or not.
I think she'll swing either way.
Yes.
I'll tell you right now, it's absolutely true.
Well, you're the second person.
I've experienced it first.
You're the second man, too.
Oh, interesting.
I would say. I want to hear it from a woman.
I'm not sure it was the case with this one.
Well, I was just awestruck anyway. I was like, I do not know what I'm doing here. I am not cut out for talking to people and selling people things. And that's retail banking kind of in a nutshell. And I was already just overwhelmed, but I was excited. Like, yeah, this is going to be fun. I had been in a branch to learn banking. And it was just a total dud. The people who were training me just didn't give me any attention. No, like they were like, "Oh yeah, you're over there." And they thought I was like a corporate spy to come in and like evaluate them. And if I would give them a big fat zero. They were terrible. So I had talked to my district manager to say, "I am learning nothing. I'm in a really sketchy part of town and this branch I'm afraid is going to get robbed." And I was just like, "This is not a good location. Can you please move me?" Like, yes, we'll put you in a high producing branch so that you get the foot traffic, you get the people. Oh, and it's because this assistant manager is there and he's great. He'll teach you all about banking. And I was like, yes, this is great. So I remember walking in and meeting him and being like, oh, he's really good looking, but that's neither here nor there. I'm really excited to like meet somebody who has a lot of energy. Obviously, everybody in this branch respects him, even though he's younger than all of them. And I'm just excited. Like, this will be great. And then I thought, oh, gosh, Hedquist, that's a really unique last name. Yeah. I went to school with somebody with that last name. I remember saying, "Do you know Sunny Hedquist?" And he's like, "Yes, that's my sister."
So when my dad got remarried, they had Sunny and Hunter, and they went to school at Reardon.
With me.
Oh, wow.
So I'm like, oh my gosh, I know Sunny. She was like a year or two behind me or whatever in school, which in a small school means, you know everybody. And I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, like, how have I never met you before? Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess you're older, and so we wouldn't have run into each other, but what a small world. Isn't that funny?
Yeah,
so we, you know, it was a natural conversation. We had something in common, and she was going to be working directly with me. And while I thought she was stunningly beautiful and had a wonderful personality, it would never even cross my mind that it could be something because she worked for me.
Yeah.
It's a big no-no when you're a manager. Yeah. You're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't even a thought. Wow, good for her. What an amazing woman I've met. She's full of life. She's got humility. She's got grace. She's got everything I look for in a woman. I'm sure she has a boyfriend. And she did.
Yeah. In fact, I think at that point, he was a fiance, like for sure.
Oh yeah, true.
so you both are involved with people.
Yes,
so this does not, you're not
so right
that
person
this
wrong
is,
time.
Oh, 100%. And neither one of us, now that we look back and talk about things, we never ever would have crossed that line. Like you said, he was my boss. I was there to learn. Neither one of us would ever cross that line. And that's not something we ever talked about together. It was just who we are. We are never going to do that because
I definitely had a work crush. Don't get
me wrong. Oh, yeah.
I was going to say that.
Yeah, for sure.
And you're super excited to go to work every day because it just was that energy that you were having with this other person was exciting and fun, even though it was not necessarily you were thinking of it in those terms.
Oh, no.
It just was.
I think it was just we had this like chemistry and we understood each other and we thought at the same level and like spoke at the same level and everything was jiving, but it was like, at least for me, it never crossed my mind like, oh, this could be something more. Like
never.
You guys just had a good energy.
Ever.
And she was a great learner. You know, it was difficult to find employees that you could teach something once and they just leached onto it. And that was Melinda. She was a great learner. And so I could show her something one time and she would take it and run with it. I'm like, this is awesome. What a great employee to have at my office. And quickly turned into a good producer. Mm-hmm. And then we became friends. You know, like you said, I look forward to seeing her every day. We had great energy. I probably spent way too much time at her desk coaching in quotations. probably a little bit of flirting.
I did a lot of learning. I don't know what you're talking about. I got a lot more.
But I'll fast forward just a little bit. You know, her engagement to another man turned into a wedding, and I was invited with my girlfriend at the time, and so we went to their wedding, and it was beautiful. And ceremony in Spokane, and then there was
it was the reception at
the Beaux-Arts
Mansion.
And I'll never forget this. I got in big trouble that night with my then girlfriend because I could paint a picture, and I'm not an artist by any means. When Melinda walked into the mansion, absolutely glowing in her white dress, and I'm like, wow, I want that. And apparently, everybody in the room, including my girlfriend standing next to me, noticed that.
Really?
Look on my face. Huh. And me drooling.
That is amazing.
Because
when we
drove home that night, I got a big slap on my arm when I was driving down the road. She's like, so are you done infatuating over the bride?
So what? I'm so curious. What is that look? I mean, that just...
I don't know.
Did you say anything, or it was just your
was
body posturing? You're like, were you like, oh my God, she looks so amazing? Or your body posturing?
Can you imagine being in your shoes at that time?
Yeah.
That would be heartbreaking also.
Did you?
There was no heartbreak.
Like I said, we were friends.
Yeah, okay. So you're happy for her.
I'm super happy for her. You know, I don't know her husband that well. Met them a couple of times. They seem like wonderful people, good backgrounds. Like, wow, they're going to have a great life. Good for them.
Okay,
You know, we said our hellos, goodbyes, had some food, dropped off our wedding present, and we left.
Yeah.
We didn't stay very long. And I think it was my then girlfriend shoving me out the door.
Yeah.
Tired of me gawking. Uh-huh. I'm not a gawker.
Yeah. I wish I could see what that looked like.
I wish I had too. I had no idea.
A fly on the wall. I would love to see what that
just
was.
You know, just awestruck. Uh-huh. Wow. I mean, just infatuated with this energy in the room that was Melinda.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then I don't know, a couple years later, I had gotten married. Not to that girlfriend, but to another girl.
How soon did you guys break up after the wedding?
Not long. Actually, that's kind of funny. I'm not sure that was the driving force, but definitely had something to do with it.
I'm guessing so.
No, but a couple years later, I got married, and Melinda and her then husband came to my wedding. And so,
because you guys are still friends.
Because we're still friends.
We've always been friends.
We're no longer working together. Well, I can't remember.
We're at the same bank, but we're at different locations. Yeah. We had crossed paths a couple of times in finance. Not to get into it super deep, but there was different divisions of the bank where we had worked together again a couple years later. And then separated again and then worked together again. So our paths kept crossing.
Yeah.
And whether it was by fate or not, it just kept happening. And I think the second time we worked together was downtown in a very professional environment, very high wealth, high standard environment. And you would flirt at my desk daily. And you
daily?
Can you know what the record
would look like?
The dresses got more and more spectacular, and by that I mean revealing.
It was super professional. Everything was very professional.
Again,
spectacular.
Again, like, really good work friends, good work energy. Like, we just had a lot in common. It was fun. You know, it was nice to
You just enjoyed the other person's presence. Mm-hmm.
Big time.
Big
time.
And I think other people sort of picked up on that a lot. Like, we'd get a lot of comments kind of underhanded. Like, not like, oh, you two must be together, but just like, oh, your chemistry is so good, or you handled that client interaction so well, because we were peers at that point. And just people kind of make comments or whatever. I'm sure people thought something was going on, but
it really wasn't.
We just
had good energy,
which is unusual. Like, what I learned coming into the banking world is there's a lot of getting around, and it was like kind of the talk of, like, you know, it was kind of the internal work gossip all the time or whatever. And I remember thinking, oh, I never want to be in the middle of that. I don't want to be what people are talking about. Like, I just remember thinking, that's so unprofessional. Why would you put your career at risk?
I don't
all these
like,
things.
You don't date people you work with, because you're screwed. It's like,
We had seen so many people fired over stuff, or have to leave and go find work somewhere else, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And so, again, while we are off in our respective relationships, we're still very good friends, but we have this like energy that just can't, you know, we just can't get out of it.
And I love it. You're like right place, wrong time.
Yes,
you're both
very
in
much.
Different situations.
Very much.
I think
so. You can't ever, you don't let your brain go to that next level. Like, could be something else. It's just like,
never.
I really like this person and like being around them. But
so now you were at his wedding.
Yes.
big wedding.
Mm-hmm.
250 some people.
Mm-hmm.
Big to do.
Yeah.
You looked great that night.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
The energy's still there.
Oh, yeah. I had moved out to Suncrest, which is funny, where I was born.
Mm-hmm.
I made my way back there. I had some family out there, and you know, found a little house, and was living with my wife. And that fizzled out fairly quickly in under a couple of years after we got married. And at the same time, Linda's marriage was fizzling out. And neither one of us knew that about each other. I'm working somewhere else now.
Yeah, you've moved quite a ways away.
Yeah,
I've
moved out of town.
Like,
I'm not working in the building anymore. I'm still in Spokane. We still work for the same company, but you know, we're in different chapters.
Yeah,
for sure. I go downtown. I have a meeting or something down there. I hit the elevator button, and the doors open, and it's Melinda.
We're angels singing. I bet.
You know, she walks out in perfect stride. No,
her angel wings
and
her hair.
Again, looked amazing. Looked amazing.
Thank you.
And I'm like, hey, how are you? I'm great. How are you? You know, I get in the elevator. We're just chit-chatting. You know, how are things? Well, you're a friend. You know, we're not just coworkers at this point. We're friends.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, things are interesting. I'm in the middle of a separation. I'm like, oh, I did not expect her to say that at all. I had no idea. And then I revert with, interesting, my separation started yesterday. I mean, this all was within a week of each other.
It was pretty close, yeah.
Or two, a week
something.
Or two.
Yeah, it was
both
very
of our haunting. Relationships were coming to an end at literally the same time. And she says, well, apparently we need to catch up. And so we went to lunch.
Yeah.
That day.
Yeah, we were like, hey, let's talk at lunch, because obviously, like, the elevator ride ends. And
yeah, we go do our
work. You gotta go to work.
So we have to go to work.
Yeah.
So I want to know, what were your thoughts, each of you, when you found out you were both separate, like you were going to be free of the relationship you're in? Like, what is that? What is that thought?
I remember thinking, oh, I want to know what's going on. Yeah. I was nosy. I wanted to know. Like, what happened? Like, you know, I thought you guys were really happy, and
I
want you to be happy. Like, I don't want you to be going through a separation or something that sounds like it might be nasty. Like, I don't want that for you. And I'm nosy, and I really want to know what's going on. So of course I was like, well, let's go talk.
For me, it was, you know, I'm sad for her. No, this is a friend.
Yeah.
But at the same time, yeah, I want to catch up. I'm kind of curious. I'm human after all.
Sure.
Kind of want to know what's going on. And so we go to lunch. There's this great little spot downtown, and we have lunch. And I would rather you tell this part.
Oh my gosh. I don't even know how we got to this part. I don't even know how we got to this conversation.
This is where it all turns.
Yeah.
It turns on a dime.
It's exciting.
Oh,
okay.
I got to remind you guys.
Yeah.
We just revealed to each other that we were in a separation in both of our marriages hours before this.
Yeah.
Okay. We're not talking weeks, days, months.
Yeah.
Hours. Maybe three.
This just in.
Yeah.
This just in.
Basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fire away.
Yeah. So we started talking. I think, if I remember correctly, we started talking about, okay, well, what happened to you? What happened to you? What happened to you? And kind of trying to get more of the backstory. And at that point, I wasn't in a bad marriage. Like, it wasn't, there wasn't anything horrific going on. It was just ending. It was just, I don't know, fizzling out,
it
whatever.
Become stale, maybe?
Yeah. Yeah. I had just turned into total roommates. My husband traveled a ton for work. So he was always gone, and just, I don't know. It was just kind of like this, yeah, we're roommates. And so it wasn't like it was going up with a big, you know, kaboom. It was just, like ending. And anyway, so at that point, my whole mindset was just like, you know what? I'm tired of not saying what I want, saying what I think. I'm tired of conforming to whatever the image that everybody has of me. And I don't care anymore. I don't care if I say something and it ruffles feathers. I don't care if it rocks the boat. I'm doing it. I'm done. I'm tired of pretending. And so I don't know how we got to this point in the conversation, but I remember looking over and saying, I remember saying something to the effect of, you know, remember when we worked together way back up in North Spokane? I think I had the biggest crush on you. And wasn't that so funny that we worked together, but you were my boss, and that would have been so inappropriate.
Yeah. This is news to me when it first comes out of her.
You had no idea.
No idea. She had a crush on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was just really friendly. And so my glasses go down. My nose, like, what do you mean a crush?
Well, and I didn't mean it to be.
By the way,
like,
she's full blown flirting at this point. Don't even try to hide it. No.
No.
Looks amazing.
Was she twirling her hair?
Because I was nervous. But I wasn't doing it with any end in mind. I didn't have any intent to be like, oh, and now something could happen. I was just like, getting stuff off my chest and just being transparent. And he looks at me and he goes, what? Say that again. And so the conversation, like, I had a big crush. Like, I remember having to get up the nerves to say it again and look him in the eye and be like, haha, isn't that funny? Like, waiting for him to be like, oh, that's so funny. And just, okay, moving on. And he was like, oh, well, I did too. And so I think we sat there gaping at each other like, well, what do we do with this information? Like,
I know what to do with
this.
This
feels very awkward. Well, it just felt very like, you know what we do.
Yeah.
Like, we both just kind of said stuff and we're both looking at each other kind of.
Which is super scary. Like, I can see, you're like, you're revealing how you truly felt.
Yeah.
And then, you did.
I'm so brave.
You kind of expressed your emotions.
Yeah.
Now you've just.
So what if you had never said that?
Oh,
I'm just curious.
No, I don't know. I mean,
I've thought about that.
I'm sure you have.
We'd still be here.
Probably.
Okay, yeah. How would you have maneuvered that?
I have to tell you guys, I've known Melinda at this point, uh-huh. at this lunch, for several years.
Yeah.
And there is one woman in the world like her. There is nothing else like her. I've met thousands of women throughout my entire life. There's nothing else like her. And don't think for a second I didn't see opportunity. I mean, she revealed to me that she was going to separate. I didn't think it was going to be for a while that I'd ever have a chance. Go through, you know, separation, have your time alone,
yeah.
get your life together. It might take a few years.
Mm-hmm.
But seed was planted.
Yeah.
I was going to act on it.
You were going to water that seed.
I was going to water that seed, yeah. Clearly. It was my
yes.
And if it never grew into something, oh, well. At least mm-hmm. we'd still be friends, because I yeah. really enjoy her friendship, truly. Mm-hmm. But when she revealed that at lunch, and I gave it right back, and it was like, there was a moment of silence, like, oh, boy.
Yeah.
What do we do now?
Light match.
Check, please.
Just light match, drop in the gasoline.
So, lunch turned into, I want to get a beer.
Oh, I love
after work.
It.
Yeah, because clearly we have more to talk about.
You're turned in to want to get dinner. And we had our first kiss that night.
Oh.
It was literally from A to Z in 12 hours.
Yeah.
And yeah. and then it was controlled chaos. it got really crazy after
so
that.
So were you trying to see each other like as much as possible after
yes.
that?
Yes.
That's pretty intense.
Yeah.
Very
we
intense.
Saw each other a ton.
So were you you kind of making plans from then? Oh, what are you doing tomorrow? What are you doing this evening? What are
it's
you
hard
doing?
To even keep your head on
and
straight.
Then,
I think when
yeah.
you've got that well, kind of an emotional
yeah,
vibe
for sure.
Happening.
So she's in the midst of selling her home, finding a new place
yeah.
to live. I'm going to stay in my house that I own now,
okay.
and my future ex-wife is going to move out.
So you guys were really in the middle
literally,
of all
yes.
this
literally
crazy
in the
stuff.
Middle
okay.
of
yeah.
divorces.
So yeah. when you say chaos, that's...
No, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
yeah.
yeah. Wait, yeah.
And so, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I was just saying, like, it was literally in the... We kept looking at each other or talking to each other and saying, like, should we even be doing this? Like, this feels really chaotic.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Like, should we just... Okay, we know this is cool. Let's, like, put it on the back burner. Let's try to get through things. And if we get to each other on the other side, great. Or like we were really wrestling with like, do we pursue this? Because
yeah.
it still feels kind of wrong-ish.
The crush has been revealed. The
yeah,
kiss has
no
happened.
Turning back.
Oh yeah, no, yeah.
Like,
no.
This timing is really
those
floodgates
are
like this is the worst timing.
But that's us because
yeah.
you're both going through such a hard time.
Yeah.
But to find joy and this amazing
yeah.
feeling within, because it's a letdown,
which
but also it's a
yeah.
Neither of us have had that feeling for a while
yeah.
in our marriages.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
so it was nice to have that. This passion,
mm-hmm.
this desire.
Somebody
right?
to lean on because going through a divorce is not, it's like,
it's awful.
How do you do it? I mean, you just, until you do
we
it,
don't
you don't know.
Yeah.
And we're both kind of like, well, what are you doing with this? Or how do you know, we're asking each other questions. Like we're leaning on each other in a lot of ways of like, how do we even navigate some of like what's going
yeah.
on in our, you know, respective corners.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do we also navigate okay, what's going on between us now?
Yeah.
At the same time.
That's a lot of stuff.
It's just a lot.
Yeah.
It is. So you might call that our first date, that beer dinner that night. I don't know what to call it a date.
Yeah.
I think the first date was, I lived in Suncrest at that time. There was a big, long lake out there. And I had access to the boat launch. And I had my father's boat I would borrow on occasion, a little speedboat. And so I, one day, text her and said, hey, you should come out. It's summertime.
Yeah.
Let's go on a boat ride. And it's a busy weekend as long as there's 1,000 boats on the water. I know everybody. My whole family lives out there. They have for a long time. And
yeah.
everybody knows my dad's boat. It's pretty easy to pick out. And so I guess that's our first date.
Yeah. Us trying to like dodge people.
like you announce them to everyone you've ever known, like, here's my girl.
Yeah. So it's we've revealed the crush. We can't stay away from each other.
Yeah.
We know it's bad. At this point, she's texted me and called me. She's texted me and called me so many times and said, I can't do this. It's not the right time. And then an hour later, she'd be like, what are you doing?
It's just, there's so much tumultuousness going, like, internally. Right. Like, it's just a lot.
It's a ton.
Yeah.
And so when we would get together, we would do it quietly, kind of secretively.
Okay.
Because it just didn't feel right to be out in the world announcing
stuff. We just didn't want to announce stuff.
We just weren't ready.
Yeah.
And everything just happened within a 2-week period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so we'd go on dates like the boat ride, and you know, people would be like, hey, Luke, who's that?
Right, that was just head down, like, okay, nobody can see me, right?
And then go find a little quiet base somewhere and just hang out for the day.
Yeah.
And when we'd go out, you know, to dinner or a beer, and we would go like an hour out of town,
mm-hmm,
to a little town in Springdale, or which we
just
did
for
one
some
night,
privacy.
And just for some privacy.
Yeah.
But that was, it was exciting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The rush of dating, you know, it's still not quite being done with this piece over here, but having this crazy energy and passion and desire to be with this other person over here.
It's probably always been there, just latent. Like,
we just set it on fire. We let it happen.
Wildfire.
It was like, whoa.
Yeah. And that's a lot of pent up desire was there.
Yeah, a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And once we started talking about the work interactions over the years, she's like, I was flirting with you. I'm just
curious.
Yeah.
Because I mean, a couple other people that I've known, like, someone that 40 years later, like, he finally got to go back to his first love. And like, but I was like, how hard was that for 40 years? Like, cause she'd always been like in his heart, and he's like, it affected my entire relationship.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like there was a piece of that? Because you guys knew there was this latent like fire. You were denying all that time.
Maybe
that,
I didn't even
realize it was there
relationships
even.
And you didn't know.
I will say this. I got married the first time knowing it wasn't going to be my last relationship.
Okay.
I didn't know who it was,
yeah,
but it wasn't her. And huh. I knew that
you
when
knew
I,
that going
when
into
I said
it.
I do. I knew it when I said I do.
Yeah.
I knew that.
Huh.
Yeah.
But you couldn't put a name to why you felt that way?
Yeah.
Couldn't put your finger on it.
No. But I just knew that wasn't my last. And I went through with it anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, we do crazy things
as
humans,
do.
Right? So,
well, yeah. I mean, maybe you thought it wasn't your last, but you're like, but maybe this is it. I mean, there was that sort of, they're like,
no.
I don't know. Or
well,
you're like,
no,
I knew.
No, that's just crazy about me revealing this.
Yes.
I knew that wasn't it. But I didn't know who it was. And like I said, I admired Melinda tremendously. It's what I was looking for in a partner.
Yeah.
I just could never find it. So I had settled in my first marriage,
mm-hmm,
which you should never do.
Yeah.
But it seemed like the next chapter in my life,
yeah,
in my late 20s.
Things.
And I'm like,
yeah,
I need to get married and settle down,
yeah,
and have a family and do that. And so I went on this path. And so did I know it was her? I didn't know it was her. But I knew it was the same type of person.
I'm guessing subconsciously.
Maybe.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Could be.
But again,
in my mind, Melinda was never going to be available.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Mm.
She had gotten married. She's from a beautiful family and background, and that's it.
Yeah.
Melinda, that person is never going to be available.
Yeah.
Until she was. Seed planted.
Yeah.
Seed water.
Yeah.
But she started
it. Yeah. You started it. What about you? Like, do you feel like that?
You know, it probably did, because I remember distinctly waking up one morning in my first marriage early on and thinking, I've made a mistake. This is a mistake. And I had not been able to look myself in the mirror and say that, or like, just, you know, when you internally look at yourself and evaluate things and kind of have to sometimes say hard things to yourself. I had never said that. And then I remember waking up and thinking that, and then that always kind of played on repeat. And I couldn't ever figure out why. He wasn't like some bad guy who was, you know, I don't know. Like, he just wasn't a bad guy. It was just, I could tell it wasn't the right thing. It was like somebody that I wanted to want because my parents approved, and he fit their kind of little mold of what they had suggested. And I was like, well, I love my parents and I know they know me.
And you want to make your parents happy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm a huge people pleaser. So it was like, but I mean, it was like, well, you know, they know me and they approve of this guy and he's somebody I want to want, like on paper, he checks all the boxes, I think. Yeah. And so I remember thinking that, and I remember even having some conversations with some women in my life at that time, not close friends, but you know, friends enough. And they knew both my former husband and myself. And sometimes I would say, I remember asking the question, like, do any of you ever like think this about your marriage? Like, have you ever had this, like, you know, questioning of, did I make the right choice or whatever? And they all nodded their heads like Stepford wives and said, no, we never think that. And I was like, well, okay. So I've got to tamp that down even further. And, and so I think it just kind of, I kept trying to suppress things and not wanting to address them and not really knowing who I could talk about it with openly, who wouldn't be like, oh,
look down on you.
Yeah. Judge me or talk through it with me and
or talk you out of that feeling.
Right, right. No matter the end, no matter whatever happened, just help me process it. And I never could find that person to do that with. And so I just kept tamping things down and tamping things down. And yeah, so I think it did color things in that relationship, or, you know, just put everything in a different light. And I think eventually that's, you know, obviously it came out, like I couldn't ignore it anymore. Had to do something about it. And, you know, I had to realize and be okay with becoming kind of the villain in a lot of people's stories, because I was the one who broke up this happy marriage, right? That looked so good.
Super hot villain, by the way.
but that was a real, like, that was a real mindset shift for me, because I had always gone from being, you know,
please everybody,
star athlete, star student, please people, take care of people, always doing the right thing, not making these wrong choices, having a lot of foresight and wisdom to think through things before I acted. I wasn't impulsive person. And I basically like totally flipped and I didn't become totally impulsive, but just said, okay, I can't do this anymore. Like I need to,
you gotta be true to yourself.
Yeah. I need to be. Yeah, exactly.
And
so,
I, in my background, I come from a family that we don't judge at all. Like, you're just accepted no matter what you've done or what you do or what you're going to do. We still love you the same. And I think that I can't speak for Melinda, but I think she really gravitated to that, because that was my whole world.
That's a breath of fresh air.
For her, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Because I knew that about her situation and her family. I'd seen it before in other areas of my life and other couples. I'm like, God, this isn't fun at all.
Yeah.
Like, we don't judge you. You can show up, you make mistakes, you're human. So that's my whole family. They've always been like that, which I love.
That's a great family.
Yeah, we're very tight. Yeah. And so to have this new environment where you're not judged, you're not frowned upon, where you can do things like have a boyfriend immediately after divorce.
Yeah.
And people are like, very good for you guys. Have fun.
Yeah.
And she's like, what? They're not upset? No. I don't care. No, it's not theirs. So they're like, and she goes, huh? Very surprising, right?
Yeah. Because I was really nervous at first to be around your family just because of how everything happened. And once we started to be more public and we had to not just face down family and like, what do our family members think, but like, what do our coworkers think? Because we have a lot of coworkers have a lot of opinions about things all of a sudden. And I mean, we had to
I forgot about that.
Really,
some pretty bold stuff.
We had to be really brave to like actually start opening up and saying, this is what it is. And
so, as I revealed to you guys before, our paths would cross in and out regularly.
So many
well,
times, yeah.
They went back to where we now work on the same floor.
Oh, gosh.
Totally different departments, totally different areas of the bank.
But we're like 100 feet apart.
Yeah.
And this just is coincidence that's happening at the same time you're starting this relationship. Oh, my goodness.
And so we're red hot.
Yeah.
The divorces are over. I know in my heart, I have found my forever person.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt reciprocated coming from, like, the energy from her was like, this is it. And we are just ecstatic. So lunches were long. I can go to lunch with anybody else.
Some privacy for you.
I used to bring lunch to work every day, like in my little lunch pail. We left the building every day. I remember walking into the regional president's office and sitting down. This is pretty bold where we worked at the time. And saying, I'm dating Melinda. And she's like, okay. Is that going to be a problem? No. You guys don't work in the same departments, right? No. Well, I just thought I'd reveal that to you because I don't want it to be an issue. Yeah. Like, no, it's not going to be a problem. Okay. You guys are both superb employees, so be respectful, be professional, and you're good to go. And I walked out like, oh, that was really easy.
Yeah.
Nobody was surprised.
They were all putting bets.
Oh,
bets.
They were. Everybody was
saying 8 years at this point that we've been working off and on together, and everybody's like, we're announcing, like, oh, we date, and they're like, yeah.
Just now we thought it started so long ago.
Like back in 2011, right? Nobody's surprised at this point. So we're like, oh, okay. but our early dating years, they escalated very quickly. When she had sold her home in Spokane, she got this quaint little place, and on a 30-day rent, I think you spent one night there.
It was just for show.
It was literally move my stuff out.
For sure.
Yeah.
We started playing house right out of the gate. And it was less than 4 months later, we were sitting on top of a mountain exchanging our vows.
4 months?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, less than 4 months.
Really fast.
3 months. Yeah. 3.5 months. And not a reservation ever crossed my mind.
So how did that come about? Did you start talking about it pretty quick? Or did you?
Because she initially revealed the crush. Who said the first, I love you? How did that?
It was like, July 19th.
Oh, wow.
We celebrate.
It's on our calendar.
How did that go?
I don't even know when that happened or where we were. I think we were just like, this seems really soon and really fast, but who cares? Like,
life's short.
Life's short, and we're happy, and I don't know.
I'm a big outdoor guy. Hunting, fishing, boating, hiking. You know, I can't stand being inside.
Yeah.
And so it's summertime. I got a boat. We're at the lake every single day. And in that setting, you know, the sun's going down. We'd be out there till the last second of daylight, right, every day, because I love it. And she hadn't done that kind of stuff her whole life at all. And for me, that's just every day. Mm-hmm. And so that's my happy place. And so when you're out there and you're talking and you got this deep crush and you're, you know, kisses all the time and holding hands, and you can't keep your hands off of each other, right? It's very early dating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think we're still like that.
I can see that.
Still have this magnetic pull.
Awesome.
It's cute.
Good for you. It was one of those beautiful sunset nights, you know, mid-July, no wind, beautiful orange pink skies, and it was like, this might be really sudden, and I can't believe this is happening, but I absolutely love you with my whole heart. Mm-hmm. And it was immediately said right back. Without any hesitation.
Yeah.
And that's fast.
So what do you do with that? You're like, okay, we love each other, now what?
Well, so when I had moved out and had sold my first place and all this stuff, I needed a place to put all my things. And Luke's house had like a bunch of extra garages, like space.
Yeah, I had a lot of storage space.
So all of my stuff, he was like, well, you can, don't get a storage unit. That costs too much. Just leave it all out at my place. I was like, okay. So all my stuff was already there. It was like, well, it seems silly that we're paying so much for phone lines. Let's join them because they're cheaper.
We're super practical and efficient.
Absolutely.
And we're just super efficient people. And so we were like, well, this is more efficient to
this
just.
This is all so practical.
Yes.
Why are you renting an apartment in town? You can just look at all this space. I have 3 bedrooms. We're going to use one, but I have 3.
Right. So we were just like, oh, this is all just so, like, it just all kind of fell into place, like, over and over every time we came to something next. it seemed to just happen.
But and then we would stop and we would go, is this too soon?
Is this too soon?
This is very sudden.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we're talking months.
I just got my ex-wife off my phone plan. I'm putting somebody else on. Like, that's still months. Right? And so
yeah.
It's
it
like,
saved us a lot of money. It just made sense.
Yeah, we were both previous bankers, and so it was very efficient, very very frugal. Yeah.
Right.
No
waste.
I've always had a passion for Idaho. I spent a lot of time in my 20s in Coeur d'Alene.
Mm-hmm.
I always loved it here. And so when I drew up the courage to ask my mother to marry me, I couldn't think of a better place.
Yeah.
And so we one night, I took her on a date to Coeur d'Alene. And we went to our favorite restaurant, which we might go to tonight. I think we might have enough time.
Maybe.
Which one's that?
Seringa Sushi.
Oh, yes.
Big sushi fan.
Yeah, it is good.
After dinner, we went down to McEwen Park, which is right next to the Coeur d'Alene Resort. And I asked her to marry me. So, and again, this was very sudden, very soon. And I didn't have any hesitation about it. No reservations, no second thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I was 1,000% confident that this is exactly who I want to be with.
Yeah. When you know, you know, right?
You know.
Yeah. And we kept saying that to each other. Like, when you know, and why are we going to sit around and pretend to, like, date for a year or two?
To please everybody else.
Yeah. Like,
there's no time.
For optics?
There's no.
No.
Yeah. We were like, are we doing this for them or for us? Like, it just.
And as I stated earlier, as I age and deal with things throughout life, I just really don't care anymore what you think,
right?
Or anybody else. So my image to everyone else has just dissipated at that point. I really don't care. And then going through a messy divorce and things like that, it's like I'm going to do what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do what we want to do.
Yeah,
I don't really care what you think at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And so we ran with that. We sprinted with that.
Yeah,
and so. The proposal was amazing. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
And then we started talking about let's plan a wedding.
What day was the proposal? Because I've got July 19th.
It was like January. It was like January something.
January.
Early in January.
11th.
Yeah, something like that.
Day.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That sounds right.
I don't know. I have to look at our calendar. But then we started talking about a wedding, and we're like, with all of our judgy family,
not my judgy.
No, but just like all these people that are going to be like, I don't know. It just didn't feel, it felt like too much. Like, this is going to be too much pressure or whatever. People are going to talk, whether they say it to our face or not. Somebody's going to, we just didn't want to deal with it. So he had like just started a new job at a new bank. So we're finally like not working together. And he was like, why do we need a big wedding? We both had big weddings before. Look how that turned out. Like, this doesn't seem like it's our thing. Let's rent some side-by-sides on tracks.
I gotta stop it.
Oh, there's more.
I asked you what you wanted.
Oh, that's right.
You
did.
This is really for you. I could care less what we do.
You're right.
Right. I could get. I said I could get married on a mountain in the middle of a snowstorm. And she said that sounds great.
Yeah. I just at this point wanted somebody else to plan everything. I didn't want to think about it. So he's like, "Well, let me see what I can do."
We had this conversation on March 6th.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. We got married on March 9th.
Shoot.
Yeah.
3 days.
We literally
on a mountaintop.
Yes, we literally rented side by sides on tracks.
Didn't.
We grabbed his brother and sister-in-law.
I needed a witness.
We
needed
a witness.
Pastor.
We needed a pastor. His really good friend Colin drove over from the west side because he's like, "Well, I'm ordained. I can do that."
I called Colin and I said, "I'm getting married." He goes, "That was fast." He goes, I like her. She sounds great. What do you need from me? I said, I need you to come marry me. Oh, okay. When's the wedding? Friday. Oh, I'll be there. He's that kind of guy.
Good friend. Yeah.
You need something? Perfect. You say jump, he says how high.
Yeah.
A lot of my friends are like that. And I think I'm a little like that.
You are.
If need be.
Yes.
Yeah.
You do that for the people you love, right? He's been a friend for a long time. So Colin drives over. I call my brother. I'm marrying Melinda. All right. And so they're the witnesses. I got the pastor. we drive to Coeur d'Alene, we rent side-by-sides on tracks, four-wheelers on tracks, because there's snow.
Yeah, yeah, March.
And we go to Cusick, Washington, and we drive to the top of Tacoma Peak, and we got married in the middle of a snowstorm.
Yeah.
You literally so beautiful.
In like full snowsuit.
Full suit.
And you had your gloves on, so when you try to put the ring on, it's like, this is getting complicated.
My brother is like super excited. He's like, this is so cool. He goes, I have service. I was like, you do? He goes, yeah, we're up on the mountain. He's like, watch this. Facebook Live, we get married.
Oh, wow.
You want to reveal it to all your friends and family? That's one way
to do
it.
Yeah, we anybody you were doing that.
Oh, well, there you go.
There's a lot of mixed emotions, like happy, sad, angry, why am I not invited? It's funny. No, it's good.
Yeah, it's really funny.
It's out there now. It's, like, it's kind of a relief, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Because then you don't have to broach that subject at some point.
Oh, by the way, we were married.
Yeah.
We've been married about a month, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
it's out there
now. Yep.
So an hour-long ceremony. I don't think it was that long, but
no, it was super short.
And it's on. Awesome. It's on social media live. That happened. Thanks, bro.
Yeah.
I thank you. Question mark. But it was fun. It was really fun. And that was it. We were married.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I had gone to work for a new institution, like she said, and I had been there just a short amount of time, and was a manager. And the manager of the bank in Sandpoint, Idaho, announced her retirement. I'd only been at this company like a month. And I called my boss and said, I just heard that manager is retiring. And I know this sounds crazy and I just started here, but I just got married to the most beautiful woman in the whole world, inside and out. And I don't want to start my family in Spokane. Mm-hmm. She's like, what are you saying, Luke? You want to go to Sandpoint? I'm like, well, yeah, I'm from there. I'm from down the road in Newport, Washington, as I stated
earlier.
And she goes, well, throw your hat in the ring. I'm like, really? You're going to let me do that? Because that's not a thing. Like, normally you have to be in your position for, you know, a year or more before you can look at something else. And so I threw my hat in the ring. I got the job. And so we've been living together just, you know, a few months.
Yeah.
And it was sell the house, pack your stuff, and we moved to Sandpoint, Idaho. Just like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she left her fancy office downtown, and she became a work from home employee at that time. And we bought a house on Upper Pack River, and we still live there today.
Yes, we do.
Oh.
But it's no longer the two of us.
No.
Couple.
No, we've had two kids there, and we're bursting at the seams in our little house.
Yeah,
but
it's amazing.
It's great.
It's amazing.
No, it's beautiful out there.
Yeah, it is. So that's our. Very accelerated relationship in a nutshell.
Yeah.
But not, I don't think it's accelerated. I think it's been brewing for decades.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I agree. 100%. Yeah. It just wasn't revealed until later on.
You met the wrong time, right people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just finally got to be the right people, right time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Timing is so weird like that. It happens.
Well, and I like the progression, actually, and that you, even how you ended up here, it just seems like it was all meant to be.
It was.
I feel like the stars are aligning for
I
you,
know.
Too. Meant to be.
I think so, too.
Yes.
Do I believe in love at first sight? No.
I don't know how you couldn't. Right? I just have to keep proving to her that there
I
is
know,
love at first sight.
Someday I'll be like, okay, you can't.
I could tell you what she was wearing the first time I saw her.
What? I want to hear.
Gray shirt, black skirt, high heels. Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. I have that image imprinted in my mind until the day I die. So literally love it first time. I'll never forget. Yeah. You have to believe it because I have experienced it.
Yeah.
<First time.
laughs> I'm getting there.
Heck of a salesman.
I'll never forget that day, truly.
Yeah.
It changed my whole life. Literally.
Yeah. I mean, it did.
It took a while.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Finally got it.
But yeah, we got there eventually.
So what are your favorite things about each other? I mean, what do you admire and love? I mean, what makes you, what draws you to the other person?
How
what
long
do
you have?
Yeah.
Well,
pick your,
well, she said your
couple
favorite.
Best,
maybe
top
maybe.
A couple best. I know. Just the top.
I love my bride's humility, her grace, and her sense of humor. one of the things that we do often is laugh. And I think that's the key to a very happy and successful relationship.
Yeah.
Is having fun. And we have a ton of that. So I love everything about you, but those are definitely my top three.
Thank you. I love, obviously, many, many things. But one of the things is that Luke is a very confident and decisive person. And this is even in our wedding vows, I think, where I said, you don't let me bullshit and like waver and go back and forth, because I like to analyze everything and really think through something and try to make the best step. And he's like, no, sometimes you just have to act. You just have to do it. You have to decide. You can't be wishy-washy. And that has really pushed me and grown me as a person big time. So that's one of the things. Because yeah, he's just very decisive, and he thinks through things, and he's very analytical, but he doesn't let that bog him down. And he doesn't
intuitive,
let
maybe.
Yeah. And very, and he doesn't let it bog me down. He doesn't let whatever we're working through we don't get to bog in. Like, we don't get to just sit and wallow a lot. It's okay, we need to think through this, we need to talk through this, but then we need to act. And it might be wrong. And that's okay.
You know how hard it is to have a crush when you have that mentality?
I'm so frustrated.
He showed immense restraint. But that's one of the big things. And then the other thing is that he works just incredibly hard. And even the stuff that he probably thinks doesn't get seen, he works hard, whether there's an audience there or not, whether somebody knows that he's put in the time and the effort or not. He always just goes above and beyond and works incredibly hard to sustain our family, because now I'm not working outside of the home. I'm taking care of our kids and trying to manage our household and in our lives. And so the burden really falls on him for finances. And I mean, he's taken that in stride, and that's led to making big leaps career-wise that are scary and nerve-wracking, but he's done it. And, you know, even when he feels like he's burning the midnight oil, I know he's doing it for us. And that's amazing, because I think a lesser man would break under the pressure that he's been under, particularly over the last 2 years career-wise. And so I very much appreciate that.
It's just work.
That's what he says. He always shrugs it off like, "Yeah, it's just work." But I know, and I'm very confident in him and his ability to take care of me and the kids. And you know, he's not afraid to pick up and move if we need to, or he's not afraid to, you know, act, you know, in some way to make something better or whatever. And it's refreshing to have somebody so decisive. Especially when, if I get into my own head, I'm very indecisive, at the end of the day. So I love that. And then the laughter thing. And I mean, this guy knows every lyric to every song ever made. So all I have to do is say, "Well, what song is that?" And I kind of hum along, or I give him a few lines and he goes, and he spews off the song.
And he's on key too. I think
sing. Yeah, he's got an
incredible. I have a little drunk.
He's got a very, very good singing voice. He's very funny, and he changes the lyrics to songs all the time. And
no.
Yes. And it's just funny. I mean, we just laugh over everything, even if something's very tense or we've had a very uncomfortable conversation or whatever the case may be. He always finds a way to lighten the mood, and that helps.
I feel like you both have very light, happy personalities, easy to laugh, you know, and I think that's a really amazing trait, and it helps a relationship a lot to be able to, able to laugh at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I didn't know that you could have that as part of your relationship. I thought you could only have that with friends or with family or brother and sister. I didn't know that could be part of your marriage.
Oh, wow.
I'm so glad you found that.
I know.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so to have that best friendship, a lot of people say that. I don't know if they mean it or they're just trying to please others when they say it. No, I mean it.
I mean, that's what I tell my kids. I'm like, marry your friend.
I am married to my best friend. Not just my friend.
I keep going back to some couples that I interviewed when I was in Turks and Caicos. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, it stays with me, and it struck me, it still does, that two couples were married previously. Mm-hmm. Things didn't work out. And then they found the partner that they're with now. And they, both of these couples said that they didn't realize how easy a relationship could be. Like the other relationship, I don't know, just not, didn't jive, was not working, sure. was hard. And then to be in a relationship where they worked well together, that it was easy, that it was mm-hmm. fun. They just didn't realize that that existed until they were with the partners there with them. Sounds like the same thing with you guys.
Yeah.
Oh, it's effortless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every house, every family, every marriage, it all has work, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But it's easy work.
But you enjoy
it. But yeah, it's fun work.
It's worth it. Workout. Yeah.
Absolutely. I like doing things for my wife. Mm-hmm. It's never a chore. You know, if she has an ask or I just want to surprise her, it feels good to do it either way. So nothing's ever a burden, ever.
And I think this is really nice for, you know, our listeners to hear too, that, you know, if you're not in a relationship that isn't like this, you know.
It's out there.
It's out there.
Be bold.
It's attainable.
Yeah. Be decisive.
Maybe relationships aren't meant to be like hard. Yeah. You know, if it's hard, then it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't settle.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it for other people.
I feel like I heard you say that. You know,
once or
first. Don't do it just to please other people or because you, or it's aspirational. Like, I want to want somebody like mm-hmm. this, you know, who has all of these qualities. It's like, but yeah, I mean, it's truly, you know, you need to figure out what you desire, what's a non-negotiable thing, mm-hmm. and don't have some laundry list, because nobody checks the laundry list of, you know, your ideal person.
Yeah.
Oh, I've definitely checked all.
Yes. But you know what I mean? Like, don't go in thinking, and then this is this narrow box. It's like, here are the really top three or five things that are really, really crucial. And then don't go after somebody or stay with somebody just because they check other people's boxes for you. Like, make sure that it's truly those things that are important to you,
mm-hmm.
I guess.
Well, I think the things you guys said that you value about each other are important things to look for in another person.
Yeah.
Laughter, friendship, mm-hmm. You're helping each other, you care about each other. Like, it's that's what matters. Not like how much they make or like how they look or
not the superficial,
like the cool stuff they can do.
Because you're going to grow and evolve as people. And hopefully you grow and evolve as a couple, and you're going to have to navigate that together. So you want to have a strong partner that you can navigate that kind of thing with.
I just got lucky. I have always been in love with Melinda's mentality, her, the way she makes decisions, the way she thinks, but she just happens to be stunningly beautiful, which is a great bonus for me.
That's a bonus.
Not a requirement, but a great bonus. Yeah. So I'm just fortunate. That's all.
Yeah. I love it. I love your energy. If I could see auras.
Yes.
You guys.
There truly is love at first sight, I'm telling you.
You're going to convince me. I've got to hear it a couple more times, but...
I know. All right, we're going to just do one interview after another to prove that there's love.
Bring it.
It's my goal now.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm not going to ask you guys any more questions. I think you kind of nailed it.
I know.
Thank you so much for sharing your love.
I have been enthralled. I felt like I was watching a love movie.
I know.
Just,
I kind of
want to listen. Or is it like
this
a romance?
I just I could have just sat here and listened to you two all night. So this was such a pleasure. Yeah. Thank you so much.
If you want a round two, I can get into some of the details.
It gets spicier the further you dig.
It's not like a habanero level relationship, but
it changed the rating. No, I'm kidding. No.
Now I'm going to meet your brother, the cheerleader.
That's a great story. I'm sure he'd love to come on.
Was that love at first sight too?
You'll have to ask him.
Oh, all right.
More believers, if you will. Huh? But thank you both for the opportunity.
Thank you.
It's a pleasure.
Yeah,
I really love our story, and I love sharing it. I've shared it hundreds of times.
Yeah.
And it's fun every time.
Yeah. Well, you should, because it maybe will inspire other people to be looking for.
Yeah.
I truly.
And I would say don't settle. Like, I'm so happy you guys went out and got what you.
Don't settle and eat sushi, which is really
okay. Yes, I love it.
Thank you. All right. Well, we're going to let everybody go. But if other people would like to send their love stories to us or to be interviewed, go to myperfectromance.com.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you.
We can get a hold of this.
Okay, bye for now.
Bye.